Today's shiur is Daf Mem Ches. We will begin on Daf Mem Zayin and Beis, the middle of the Amid, at the beginning of the new Perek. But first, a few words of introduction before we begin Perek B'Met Tomnin. This Perek is going to deal with the Halach of Hatmana. Hatmana involves insulating food by wrapping the pat with some sort of a material that will preserve the heat for Shabbos. As we will learn, there's a concept of Hatmana for Erev Shabbos, and there's a concept regarding Hatmana on Shabbos. Hatmana on Erev Shabbos is prohibited bedover hamoisef hevel, substances which add heat to the food. Dover she'en ha'moisef hevel, substances that only maintain the heat, hatmana on Erev Shabbos is permitted. The reason hatmana bedover ha'moisef hevel is asur on Erev Shabbos is because we're concerned shema yatmin beremetz, perhaps somebody will use remetz, coals, as the substance to which to do hatmana with. And with remetz, there's a concern of shem yechata b'gcholim, that he may stoke those coals. And therefore, Chazal said that even on Erev Shabbos, it should be asr. On Shabbos, hatmana is certainly asr b'dover ha'moisef hevel, but it's even asr b'dover ha'ena moisef hevel, even an item that only maintains heat. The reason it's also on Shabbos, even bedovish enemos of hevel, is as the Gemara will explain. We're concerned that as the person is about to do hatmana, he will realize that the food he's being matmin is not warm, and the purpose of hatmana is to keep the food warm. So what he will do is he will put it up to cook, to warm it up, which is of course also on Shabbos. Because of that, Chazal said any form of hatmana, even bedover ha'ena moisef hevel, is asur on Shabbos. Tosfos, right at the beginning of our perek, explains, brings down a very fundamental machlokes. He quotes the Rabbeinu Yosef ben Reina Shmuel that said that hatmana on Shabbos has the same halacha as shiur, which we discussed at length in the previous parak. And therefore he says, if somebody is mat, just like by shiur, we learned a kidrachaisa, something totally raw, or something completely cooked, certainly according to Hanani, even Voshel Kaben Rusoi, only if it's partially edible, according to Ben, there is no problem of shiur. Says the Rabbeinu Yosef ben Shmuel would have the same halacha by hatmana, and hatmana on all these types of items would be mutter. Tosfos himself disagrees, and he says that hatmana is asur, and these hatayim of kidrachaisa do not apply. And there are two reasons for Tosfos Pshat. Number one, the Rishonim say, if that were the halacha, that on Shabbos, that hatmana were mutter in these situations, it's difficult to understand why our perek never mentioned these halachas. It seems that these halachas don't apply. Furthermore, Tosfos explains, the Rishonim that agree with Tosfos, and that's the way we paskin la halacha, say that since hatmana could accomplish more than shiur, Chazal were more machmer in hatmana, and they even answered it by dover, by kidrachaisa, or something that's cooked kamacha ben rusai. The Rambam makes a very fundamental point. He discusses how could Chazal have said that hatmana is also b'Shabbos, even b'dovish enemais of hevel, isn't this a gzeira l'gzeira? First of all, in a davar she'ein mo'is of hevel, there is no problem of shem yichat b'gecholim. What are you worried about? You're going to cook it up. Or an erev Shabbos was saying it's aser because you're going to maybe be matman beremetz, which you may stoke. And what if you're not matman beremetz? Isn't this a gzeira l'gzeira that we discussed many times? Is only aser, is only aser. We don't make gzeira l'gzeiras. So the Rambam says that we have to say kula chad gzeira. This wasn't done in stages where Chazal made a number of gzeiras. Rather, Chazal made one gzeira bat hatman and included various components all at one time. The Pnei Yeshua asks that it's interesting to note that our perek, as we're about to learn, begins with the words b'matomnim b'ma'intomnim. With what may we and may we not insulate foods on Erev Shabbos? And as we explained, we only may not use on Erev Shabbos substances that are mice of hevel and then increase the heat. Ask the Pnei Yeshua, shouldn't have the Tana, shouldn't have the Mishnah first said the halacha that there is a din of atmana, what the basic din of atmana are, and then begin discussing what are the substances that are mice of hevel and what are not? So Pnei Yeshua says that according to way Rashi explained at the beginning of Parakira, that Atmana and Shia travel together, and in fact Shia is a form of Atmana, Rashi explained, it makes a lot of sense why it doesn't have to be mentioned, the basic halachas of Atmana, for they were already included in what we learned in the previous parak. This would work well with the Shita that Tosfos doesn't agree with, that Atmana would have the same halacha and Shia regarding Kedrach Haisa. But according to the other Shita, we have a question. Why didn't our Mishnah first mention the basic halacha of Atmana? So Pnei Yeshua says that our Mishnah is a continuation of the Mishnah that we learned in Daf Lamed Dalet. That the Mishnah says, Ava ma'arvin v'toynim nesachamim v'bein ha'shmoshes. So we already encountered the subject of Atmana. Now we continue, v'ma'tomnim v'ma'intomnim, what may we insulate hot foods, and may we not insulate hot foods in Erev Shabbos, says the Mishnah. Ein toynim lo begefes. We may not use mark. Mark is the pulp of items, there's olives or sesame seeds, we'll discuss in the Gemara in a moment. V'loi b'zevel, we may not use manure. V'loi b'melech, salt, v'loi b'sid, lime, v'loi b'chol, sand. The Mefarshim point out, sand, the Gemara holds, has a very interesting characteristic. Something hot, it keeps hot. Something cool, it keeps cool. Bein lachem, bein yaveshim, whether they're wet or dry. V'loi b'teven, not with straw. V'loi b'muchen, v'loi b'teven is not straw. V'loi b'zagin is with grape skins. V'loi b'muchen is flocking. It's the material which is used to stuff pillows or blankets. V'loi b'savim, not with grass, but manchin lachem when they are moist. Avot tam behem, we may insulate with them, but manchin yuvesh when they are dry. It begins the Gemara. Ibarilhu. So the Bnei Yeshiva asked, Gefes Shazesim Tanan, what kind of Gefes was our Mishnah referring to? Did it mean olive mark, who heat is very intense? Avol, the Shumshman, the mark of sesames, which is not that hot, Shapidami, you may use that to insulate with on Erev Shabbos? Aduma, the Shumshin and Tanan, or maybe the Mishnah means even sesame, but Koshkin the Zaysim, and certainly of olives. Toshma, the Omer Reb Zerim Shumcha de Rebbe Yanai, Kubach, Shetomimbo, a box in which once insulated hot food, Osla Nichal Gefeshal Zaysim. You're not allowed to put it on top of olive mark. Shmamina, from here we see, Shazaysim Tanan, that our Mishnah is referring to olives, but Shumshmin, sesame, would be mutter. Says the Gemara, La'olam Eimalach, really I'll tell you, L'inyan Atman, as far as Atman is concerned, the Shumshmin Nami Osir. Sesame mark is also Osir. What are we talking here? Here we're talking about a specific case. We're talking about a case of a box on directly on top of the olives. L'inyan asuki havla, regarding radiating heat upwards, the zaysim maski havla, the mark of olives radiate heat upwards, the shumshmin by maski havla, however, the mark of sesame do not radiate heat upwards. So when we learn this Gemara, Tosfos points out, we learn a very interesting thing, that if somebody takes a food and he is matmin it, even bedover she'ena mois of hevel, and then he puts that on top of a thing which is mois of hevel, it would be considered also because of atmana. Which would mean, let's try to understand this perhaps in a practical situation. If somebody would take a pat of any food, insulate it in a blanket, which is a dovish ena mois of hevel, but then put that on top of the oven, Tosfos is saying, based on what we just learned in our Gemara, even though the food itself is being insulated, bedovish ena mois of hevel, you could not put it on top of the fire, on top of the oven, and even perhaps if the oven has a blech on it, it would be osur, because the banim is a dover on mois of hevel. Tosfos then wants to say that maybe we don't have a raya to such a situation for two reasons. Firstly, in the case of the zaysim, there it's directly under the box. Here there would be a blech between the fire and the zaysim, which may make the situation different. And furthermore, Tosfos wants to say fire, by definition, is different than zaysim mark, olive mark. Olive mark retains its heat. Fire diminishes its heat. But that wouldn't work with the fires in our oven, because our oven, the fires that are gas-powered or electric-powered, stay and don't get diminished. They're not like coals or something else that starts burning out. The interesting shaila, when you think about this, would be, what would be the halacha if somebody has a pot of cholent or any other food, and he takes some kugel or kishka, and he wraps it in sieve foil, and then he puts that into the cholent, which is on the blech. Is that considered hatmano or not? The Chazon Ish is mekel, and he says that anything put into the pot is not considered hatmano. Food in a pot is not hatmano. Hatmano is when you put food when you put something around the pot. The Meches Yitzchak is machmer, and he says that taka, you should be careful not to completely submerge kugel that's put into a silver foil completely into the cholent, because that may be hatmana. You have to be careful to leave part of it sticking outside of the cholent. The Shalos HaTshuvos Machs Elyo makes a very interesting observation. Even according to the Chazon Ish that says that you can wrap a food and put it into another food that's on the blech, that's if there's only one wrapping around the food. But if there's a double wrapping around the food, then that, even the Chazon Ish would say that the second wrapping creates a situation of atmana, and if it's completely submerged in the food, would be osur. The Machs Elyo says that according to Chazon Ish, somebody who does want to do that, does want to wrap the food, the kugel, very well before putting it into the cholent, he should be careful not to use two pieces of silver foil, but rather use one long piece of silver foil and wrap it a few times. One more shaila before we go further. What happens, lahalocha, if somebody did hatmana? That means, let's say somebody accidentally was matman food on Shabbos, put this into the cholent in a way it's hatmana, or did another thing which would be hatmana, would be mutter to eat the food or not. So the halacha is, as we discussed and will discuss, you're not allowed to be nena for Maisa Shabbos. If somebody cooked food for you, you're not allowed to eat on Shabbos, you're not allowed to eat that food. There are differences between shogeg and mezid, but you're not allowed to eat that food. And that's the same thing in hatmana. However, what will be the halacha if you're not nena from that food? That means the food got warmed up through atmana, but now when you're eating it, it's cold already. Somebody was matman a piece of meat, And but when time you're eating it, it's cold. So you have no hana, you have no pleasure from what happened here on Shabbos. What would be the halacha? As far as Bishul is concerned, if somebody cooked something on Shabbos, but it was edible before it was cooked, and now when you eat it, it's cold, there's a machloikas Mishnah Berurah and Chazon Ish if you're allowed to eat it. The Mishnah Berurah says you are. The Chazon Ish says since on this food, a Maaseh Shabbos happened, it was cooked, even though you're not really deriving any pleasure from it, it's still usur. What the halacha would be with atmana is an interesting shayla. Would the Chazon Ish agree to the Mishnah Berurah to be meikel or not? Continues the Gemara. Rabba Rav Zeira have ikel lebei Rish Galusa. Rabba Rav Zeira came to the house of Rish Galusa. Chazil hu avda, they saw one of the servants. The anach kuzu de maya, he took a jug of water and he put it apum de kunkuma. On top of the kettle to heat it up. Nazi Rava. So Rava told him, you did the wrong thing. Amle Rav Zeira. So Rav Zeira asked him, Maishno mimechem agabe mechem. Why is this different from the case that we will learn that it's permitted to put a kettle on top of another kettle? So Rava answered him, Hasam. Amle Hasam ukmi kamakam. There, all he's doing by pacing the two kettles together, he's only preserving the heat of the top kettle. However, hocha eluda kamalayit. Here, when he puts the jug of cool water on top of the kettle, he's creating heat, and that's why it's asa. And the way most Rishonim explain this Gemara, this is another form of Atmana. It's very similar to Atmana, and that's why, just like the Chazal asked Atmana, they asked this also. Other Rishonim explain that all the servant intended to do here was to warm the water, not to cook it. However, we were dealing in a situation that if the water would remain on top of the kettle for a long time, it would in fact get cooked. Rav Zeira said that such is permitted. And that's why he said, just like you want to put two kettles, one on top of the other, it's mutter, this too should be mutter. Rav says that only when you put a hot kettle on top of another hot kettle, that's when it's mutter. However, when you put a cold kettle on top of a hot one, even if your intention is to remove it before the water cooks, it's still usur, because perhaps you'll leave it there so long, till it actually gets cooked. Then he saw the poris dastadur, he spread out a turban, apume de kuba, on top of a jug, and then the anech natla alavei, and then he put on top of it a ladle. Nazi Rava. Again, Rava was upset at him for doing this. Amle Rav Zeira Amai. So he asked him why. So he said, Amle Hashtachazis, I'll show you. The Saif Chazia, the Kamatzale. He saw the servant squeezing the turban in order to squeeze out the water it had absorbed, which would be the Isser of Schita, of squeezing in Shabbos. Now the Sfasemis asks, if Rava saw him squeezing this on Shabbos, how did he not stop him from being over the Malacha? So there are three answers given. One answer is that of course he didn't actually squeeze it. He was about to squeeze it and he said, you see, he wants to squeeze it. Another answer given is that he only squeezed it on Motzoi Shabbos. But Rava pointed out, you see that he's squeezing it. And since he's squeezing it, you see that this is a real chance of this to happen, even though now when he's squeezing it, it's Matzah Shabbos, that's why it's Aser. A third teretz that's given is that it was squeezed by a goy, and that's why there was no Malacha of Shabbos here. The Ritva asks, why is the Iser here only Schita and not Kibbus, which is washing? Because putting something into water isn't that washing it. So Ritva says that it's talking over here in a case that the sudr, this turban, was clean. So there's no problem of cleaning, but there was a problem of squeezing. Amalei, Maish number for Azanka. So Rav Zeira asked Rava, why is this different from a rag which you're allowed to put on top of a bowl of liquid, which we learned is mutter on Shabbos? So Rav answered, there, in the case of a rag, a person doesn't care about the rag, and he's not going to be interested in squeezing it out. Here a person cares about the turban that he wears, and he's going to squeeze it out, and that's why it's awesome. Continues the Gemara. V'loy b'teven, somebody should not use straw or the other items when they are moist. B'ayim ne'er v'adam amasna me'abaya. Muchen, shetam behen. Regarding this flocking, the stuffing of blankets and pillows. Ma'al otatlan b'shabbos. May they be moved on Shabbos. The question is, generally they're certainly muksa, because they're used to make felt, and it's not, and therefore it's considered muksa machmas gofoy. Now the question Rav Adab Amasna was asking is, if a person designated these flockings to use for hatmana, does it lose the status of muksa or not? Omalei, v'chib neish enle kupa shal tevin, just because a person doesn't have a straw to use for hatmana, oimer mafka kupa shal muchim, he goes and makes his muchin hefker insignificant, of course it's still significant, and it's muksa. Lema Mesaila, so the Gemara wants to bring a proof to this psak. It says, time to begize et semer, someone can insulate with wool shearings, ubitzipe tzeper, with mats of comb wool, ubilshoni shalgaman, with strips of purple wool, ubimuchen, and with flocking. However, vei metatlin oisom, you're not allowed to move them. So here we see that it's considered some muksa. Says the Gemara, imishim ha, if that's your proof, loy irya. That's not a definitive proof. Hachkam, this is what it means. Im loy tambehem, if you did not use them for atmana, so they're obviously muksa, and therefore aim a tatlan yisam. You're not allowed to move them. But that doesn't prove it in case when they were used for atmana, if they retain their status of muksa. Ask the Gemara, if hachkam ayla memra, if that's the case of the Mbraisa, what's the Braisa teaching us? That if they weren't used, the muksa, obviously the muksa. Answers the Gemara, Ma the time chazi l'mezgalayu, I would think that flocking are fit to recline on, and therefore they should never have the status of muksa, even when they weren't used for atmana. Kamash malan, that no, if they weren't used for atmana, they certainly have the status of muksa. Continues the Gemara. Rav Chisda shor la duri udri lebeisadi b'shabsa. Rav Chisda allowed them to return the flocking into a pillow on Shabbos, and he did not consider this the iser of makkah b'patish. Eisei Rav Chanan b'Rav Chisda l'Rav Chisda matirin beis atzav b'shabbos. Somebody could, the halach is you may untie the neck opening of a garment on Shabbos avloy poischem, but you're not allowed to open it in the first place. The way Rashi explains is, the clothing would, in those days, come back from the laundry with the collar tied shut. Because the knot was never meant to be permanent, according to Rashi, the problem is not koreya, it's only a problem of mesaken mono. So Rashi explains like this. If it was not a new beged, there's no problem of tikken mono, of makav patish. But if you're doing it for the first time, it's also because of makav patish. Vein noisten samuchen. However, you're not allowed to put stuffing loy l'toch hakav, loy l'toch keses, not into a pillow or to a blanket. B'yontiv on yontiv ain't tzarich loyim b'shabbos. So here we see that it's prohibited to put the stuffing into a pillow. Rav Chisda said it's mutter. Answers the Gemara loy kasha. Ha b'chadati with new pillows that were never before used, it's usher because it's considered makav patish. The tiki, old ones which were already stuffed and the stuffing fell out and you're just restuffing them, this is called makav patish. Tanya nami hochi, and so we learned in a braisa, ein noisen samuchin, you're not allowed to put the stuffing loy l'toch hakav, loy l'toch kas, is not into bello or banquet, beyond the tzarich loyim b'shabbos. However, enough shur, if they just fell out, then the halacha is machzirin bein b'shabbos and tzarich loyim b'yontif. You could do it on Shabbos and on yontif. Tosfos points out based on this Gemara, that if the string of a garment, let's say the string on a hood of a coat, fell out, one is permitted to restring it on Shabbos, since that string was there previously. However, Tosfos says two qualifications. If people usually knot the end of the string, then one may not restring it on Shabbos, because he may mistakenly knot the string. Also, Tosfos says, if inserting the string is a difficult process, then it's considered tikkun mana, even if the garment is old. The same says the Tosefta regarding inserting shoelaces, that if somebody's shoelaces come out on Shabbos, he may reinsert them. However, says the Magen Avraham, based on our Gemara, it's only permitted to do so in old shoes. However, inserting shoelaces into a new pair of shoes, says the Magen Avraham, is tikkun mana, because it makes the shoes wearable. The Yoraba adds that it's only permitted to reinsert the shoe's original shoelace. However, if one shoelace is snapped on Shabbos, he may not insert new shoelaces on Shabbos. That's what the Yoraba says. The Tzais HaShulchan points out that even if the shoe is old, even if the shoelace is new, you may be able to reinsert them. And he says another interesting heter, I don't know if people would want to do this heter, he says that if you're inserting a different colored shoelace, that means let's say you're wearing black shoes and you're putting in white shoelaces, which is certainly something you're not going to be doing for a long time, therefore it would not be considered tikkun mana, and it certainly would be mutter. Tosfos, the Rishonim will point out that, of course, one is allowed to put in and out a belt of the loops on Shabbos, even of a entirely new suit, because that's not considered tikkun mana, because the belt is not meant to be there permanently and doesn't make the pants into a pair of pants, and that's why it's mutter. A very interesting shaila comes up regarding blowing up, not a balloon, because a balloon, if you blow up, you have to make a knot to keep the air in, but to blow up a beach ball or a tube on Shabbos. Would that be considered tikkun mana, because you're making it usable by blowing it up? The Chelkas Yaakov and the Minchas Yitzchak, both based on this Gemara, say that it's usur. However, some Paiskim want to say that it would be mutter, since the derech is to constantly open it and close it, that would be not be considered tikkun mana. We explain this Gemara, that a Pesach based at Tzav B'Shabbos, if somebody opens up a brand new collar on Shabbos, Chayiv Chatos, and Rashi explains because it's tikkun mana, makav patish. The Rambam holds that it's kareya, it's tearing. And it's interesting to note what is the machlokes, there's a biur halacha about this. So Farshim explained, Rashi does not consider this kareya, because as we learned earlier, why is kareya ever considered a malacha? We know that mekalkalin, whenever you do a destructive act, it's not considered a malacha. So we explain that kareya is considered a malacha because the kareya manas litfar. You're tearing with the intention of sowing. That's why it's not totally destructive. It's constructive in order to be able to sow. Here, however, Rashi is going to be holding that since this kareya is not a manas litfar, you're just opening it up in order to be able to wear the shirt, but you have no intention of sewing it back, so that's not called kareya. So there will not be a chiv midaraisa. That's why Rashi says it's tikkun mana. The Rambam, who does hold its kareya and does not hold its makav patish, some Rishonim explain because the Rambam holds that any time where there is another malacha taking place, where according to Rambam, here we have a situation of kareya, it can never also be considered makav patish. You can't have makav patish in conjunction with another malacha. That's what the Uraim says. And others say that since this is happening, that the beginning and the end of malacha, it's not a two-part malacha, it's a one-part action, makav patish is never shayach according to Rambam, one-part action. The Minchas Chinuch says, pshat in the Rambam, that of course the Rambam will agree that there's a chiv makba patish. Just when the Rambam says there's a chiv kareya, what he means to say is there isn't only a chiv of makba patish, there is also a chiv of kareya. Continues the Gemara. Amar Rav Yehuda Marav, habaseich beis atzav b'shabbos, if somebody opens up the neck opening of the shirt for the first time on Shabbos, Kaif Chatas, we're learning like Rashi, because of Makba Patish. Maskla Rav Kahana, so Rav Kahana asked, Ma bein zeh, lemegufas chavitz, why is this different from Gemara that we're going to learn later in Amasechta, that somebody could cut off the top of a sealed barrel with a sword in order to open up the barrel and remove its contents? So we see that creating an opening is not considered making a utensil. Amalei Rava. So Rava responded, Zechibur. In the case of the shirt, it's considered, it's one piece of material. Therefore, opening it up is considered making a shirt, making a keli. The lid which seals the opening of the barrel is not considered connected. It's not one piece with the barrel, and therefore it doesn't consider you made a new opening on Shabbos. And Rashi explains, even if the lid was cemented to the top of the barrel, it was done with the intention of later removing the lid, and therefore it's not considered one piece with the barrel. Ramalei Yirmiyah Rav Zeira. So Rav Yirmiyah asked Rav Zeira, Tanan, we learned in the Mishnah, Shlal Shel Kaipsim, articles of clothing which are stitched together by launderers. It was the practice of the people who did laundry to stitch together the small articles of clothing that they would not become lost in wash. V'shal Shalosh Mafteches, and a keychain, Vabegit shutof beklaim, and a garment whose pieces are sewn together with shatnez thread, chibla tuma. They all considered joined. They considered a single utensil as far as tuma. That means if one of these pieces of material or one of these things become tamei, all the other things are considered tamei, even though they are going to be detached eventually. Still, they're not considered together. Until the person actually begins to separate them. Alma, so what do we see from here? Shaloi b'shas melacha, even when they're not b'shas melacha, b'shas that you're working with it, nami chibur, it's still considered connection, even when no work is being performed in them. V'minu, of them, so the Gemara asks a stira from a different Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Makel shasor yad lekadem, a person took a piece of stick, wood, to put into a handle of an axe. Now the halach is like this. Pshuti kleyetz, plain pieces of wood, are not mekabel tumah. But if they're together with a, they're part of a keli, they are mekabel tumah. So the halach is chibla tumah, they're considered joined to the axe as far as Hilchus Tumah Kutsu B'Shas Malacha, and if part of it, if the axe part becomes Tameh, then this handle will be Tameh, and the Deek is B'Shas Malacha in, only while work is being performed, Shalai B'Shas Malacha Lai. But we just explained that by the Shalal Shekaisim, it's always considered connected in all stages. Amalei, Sir Zeri's answered, Hasam, in the case of a hand of an axe handle, Shalai B'Shas Malacha, when no work is being done with the axe, Adam Asal Azarka Labena Aitsim. A person is going to take that stick and toss it among other pieces of wood. Hacha, however, here by the laundry, Shalai B'Shas Malacha Nami Nichlei, even while no work is being performed, even after the garments were cleaned, somebody, the people are pleased to have them still connected. Why? They mitnefu. If the clothing get dirty before you wear them, Hadamafale, he'll clean them and he'll save himself the job of stitching them. So the person is satisfied with this connection, and that's why it's considered one. B'surim Masn L'Hosh Matz Mishmeder of Chizda. In Surah they taught the halach that we're going to learn now in the name of Chizda. But Pumbadisa Masn Mishmeder of Kahana. And Pumbadisa they taught in the name of Kahana. Ramallah and others say Mishmeder Rava. Man Tanah Milsad Om Rabbanan. Who's the Tana that taught what the Rabbanan said? Kolam Chubaloi. Whatever is attached to something, Harei Kmo, has the same din as the thing itself. Om Rabbi Yehuda Merav, Rameyihi, it's Rameya. Tithnan. Because we learned the Mishnah Masech to Kalim. Base a Pach, or base a Tavon, or base a Nirish Bekira. Base a Pach is a flask receptacle in which they kept oil. Beis HaTavlin is where they kept spices. Beis HaNer is where they kept lamp. Shebekira, which are connected to a stove. They had a very easy invention. You need oil, you need spices, you need a lamp while you're working with your kira. So they made a receptacle connected to the kira to keep these items. So the halacha is metamei memaga. If the inside of the kira is touched by something tamei, then this base of pach and base of tavlin and base of ner will also become tamei. However, they do not become tamei if something fell into the ear space of the kira. We know that halacha is that kli cheres, earthenware utensils, have a very unique din in hilchos tuma. That even if the tuma merely enters their interior, even if it does not actually touch the vessel, it becomes tamei. Now Rameya is saying, we look at how this kira became tamei. If it became tamei because a sheretz, a dove tamei, actually touched the kira, then the base of pach and the base of tavlin will also be tamei. But if the kira only became tamei because there was something entering the ear space of the kira, then the base of pach and base of tavlin will not be tamei. Rav Shimon matar. Rav Shimon says that they will always be tar. So the Mara analyzes this Mishnah. Bishlom Rav Shimon. Rav Shimon is very easy to understand. He holds kusavah lavka kira daman, that this connection does not make them like the kira itself. El Ramei, but I need to understand Ramei, asked the Gemara. Ikikaru damu, if they're considered like the kira, so I feel benamilitmu. Even if the kira only became tame because something entered the air space, what's the difference? If on the other hand, ilavka kira damu, that they're not considered connected to the kira, so then I feel benamilitmu. Even if the kira became tame when something actually touched the kira, what's the difference? Says the Gemara, la'olam, lavka kira damu. Really, they're not considered like the kira itself. Just rabbanon hu d'gozer bo. It's exerid rabbanon that they should be considered as one piece mid rabbanon. So ask the Gemara, fine. It's only mid rabbanon. But even if it's only mid rabbanon, e gozer bo. If Chazal made exero, I feel ba avin nami litma. Let them make the exero even when it contracted tumor from the airspace. Answers the Gemara. Of the bar rabbanon akera, the Chazal did not want to give it a full-fledged din of tuma. Some should not come to burn truma on kachim on account of it. So the explanation is like this: the halacha is that you're not allowed to burn truma or kachim without a legitimate reason. So if you'll have here the beis hapach and the beis hatevin, which are only Tamei Midrabonin, because really they're not considered one and the same with the Kira. Now, if somebody will not realize that this item is, that the Beis HaPach is not the same as the Kira, and Truma or Kachim, which are Tar, will touch it, he'll come to burn it. But you have no right to burn it. Midrais, it's not Tamei. So Chazal said, I'm not going to always treat it as Tuma. In order that a person should realize that it's not Tamei Midraisa, it's only Tamei Midrabanan, and he won't burn Truma and Kachim, which you have no right to do, only if it's Tamei Midraisa. Now the question is, why didn't Chazal make the same rule by the Shlal Shalkaifsim, which we just learned is also has the same halacha that it's only a chibur, but it's only a chibur midrabanan, not midraisa. So Tosfos answers that we're going to learn tomorrow, mitzvah Shem, that the hazah on one part of the shalal shakai, so on one part of that laundry, doesn't work for the other part, that's the heker. However, here, the hazah doesn't work anyway on a kira, because the only way you could be metahar, purify a kira made out of earthenware, out of cheres, is by breaking it. So hazah is not the form through which we can make a heker. So we had to make a different heker. The heker is between what type of tumah it received. The Pnei Yeshua asks on this, that what kind of heker is this, that you won't see it, that the hazah won't work on one part or the other. The person who doesn't see you making the hazah, or the person that sees you making hazah on both parts, won't realize that you're making the hazah on both parts, because that's the heker. Rashi points out that this kira is a portable kira. The Rishonim ask that a tanner or a kira are mekabel tumah even when it's mechubal karka. So why did Rashi have to explain that this kira that we're talking about in our Gemara is a portable kira? So the Rosh answers that this that we said, that a kira is mekabel tumah even when it's mechubal karka, is only on the kira itself, but not on pieces that are connected to the kira, like we're talking about the base of pacha, base of tavlin. So that's why Rashi had to say that we're talking about a kira that's portable, and in a portable kira, the tumah is not limited only to the base of pacha, not only to the kira, it also extends to the base of pach, base of tavlin.